Bibles to the book of 2 Samuel, the 15th chapter. Actually, we'll begin in the 15th chapter in just a few minutes to kind of give the introduction to what we want to look at in chapter 16 in 2 Samuel. In regard to the upcoming men's leadership workshop that we plan to have September the 11th and 12th, there's a schedule of events on the bulletin board back there. Friday night, we're going to be simply talking about general principles of leadership. And then Saturday, we'll come back and we'll emphasize practicing things that will help us in our worship. How can we lead an acceptable worship? And we'll talk about some things about song leading. I'm going to be conducting the series. I know there are probably a lot of you out there that are as talented or more than I, probably more knowledgeable, and I will be soliciting your help as we do that during that weekend. Looking forward to that time together. If you've lived long enough, you will know that either you have been the recipient or in some form or fashion you have been the one that harbors the sin or the attitude of bitterness. In fact, it's something that, unless it is checked, can lead to other sins and becomes extremely harmful in human relationships from the standpoint of churches, families, sometimes even citizens of a neighborhood. And therefore, it is something that I want us to look at today. And we find that in the time of King David, that David had been forced to flee from Jerusalem because of the conspiracy that was led by his own son Absalom. And as he's leaving Jerusalem, there is a fellow from the household of Saul. His name is Shimei, and he is a bitter man. And he has come out to curse David. And what we find in this story are the fruits of bitterness and the reason behind that bitterness. First of all, I want you to go with me to 2 Samuel, the 15th chapter, and let's talk for a while in the text about some of the things behind this story. In the 15th chapter, first of all, there was the son of Absalom, or the son of David, Absalom, who was a very handsome man, and he was a good politician. And he was leading a conspiracy against his own father. In fact, in the fourth verse, it says that moreover, Absalom would say, "Oh, that I were made judge in the land, and everyone who has any suit or cause would come to me, and then I would give him justice." In other words, he's going out and making all these promises. And so it was that whenever anyone came near to bow down to him, that he would put out his hand and take him and kiss him. In this manner, Absalom acted toward all Israel who came to the king for judgment. And so Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. It was a very sad day for David. The conspiracy began to grow. Ahithophel, one of David's own servants, was among those who defected to Absalom's cause. And because of that, David is now forced to leave. The glory and grandeur of David's rule is beginning to diminish, especially after his sin with Bathsheba. And as David leaves, we come to the 16th chapter. And in the 16th chapter, I want to read beginning with the fifth verse. We encounter this man, Shimei, who is of the household of Saul, the first king of Israel. And it says that when King David came to Bahurim, there was a man from the family of the house of Saul whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera, coming from there. He came out cursing continually as he came. And he threw stones at David and all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men on his right hand and on his left. Also Shimei said thus when he cursed, come out, you bloodthirsty man, you rogue. The Lord has brought upon you all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned, and the Lord has delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom your son. So now you are caught in your own evil because you are a bloodthirsty man." And then Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said to the king, "Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Please let me go over and take off his head. But the king said, What have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? Let him curse, because the Lord has said to him, curse David. Who then will say, why have you done so? And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, see how my son, who came from my own body, seeks my life. How much more this Benjamite? Let him alone and let him curse, for so the Lord has ordered him. If it may be, that the Lord will look on my affliction, and that the Lord will repay me with good for his cursing this day. And as David and his men went along the road, Shimei went along the hillside opposite him and cursed as he went, threw stones at him and kicked up dust. And now the king and all the people who were with him became weary, and so they refreshed themselves from there. I want to look first of all at just something that was noted in this. That here was this man Shimei, he's throwing stones and he's cursing David. He's a very bitter man. And David is a little confused at this moment. And the implication, I think, is stated in verses 11 and 12. That is, David is not sure whether or not this cursing is from God or not. In verse 11, the latter part, he says, let him alone and let him curse, for so the Lord has ordered him. I think some translations say it may be that the Lord has ordered him. And in verse 12, he says, it may be that the Lord will look on my affliction and that the Lord will repay me with good for his cursing this day. The reality is that the cursing of Shimei was not from God. And the reason why we know that is because we follow the rest of the story. For example, in the 19th chapter of 2 Samuel, now the conspiracy is over. Absalom is dead. David is going to go back to the city of Jerusalem. And in the 16th verse of chapter 19, Shimei the son of Gera, a Benjamite who was from Bahurim, hurried and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. And there were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him, and Ziba, the servant of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons and 20 servants with him. And they went over the Jordan before the king, and then a ferry boat went across to carry the king's household and to do what he thought good. And Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king when he crossed the Jordan. And he said to the king, do not let my lord impute iniquity or remember me what wrong your servant did on the day that my lord the king left Jerusalem, that the king should take it to heart. Now, there is, I think, an implication later on that Shimei's confession is not real. I don't think that he really means that. The problem is that now he sees that the fate of David has changed. David is no longer running from his son, but he is able to return to Jerusalem and return to the throne. And he says in verse 20, for I, your servant, know that I have sinned. Therefore, here I am, the first to come today of all the house of Joseph to go down and meet my lord the king. But the statement that is made by Zeruiah, I think, implies that obviously the cursing of Shimei was not from God. Because Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, answered and said, shall not Shimei be put to death for this because he cursed the Lord's anointed? Shall he not die because he has cursed God's anointed? Now, David's not ready for that, but he will later on be ready for it. He's not ready for justice, but justice will later be executed during the time of Solomon. And David said, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah, that you should be adversaries to me today? Shall any man be put to death today in Israel? For do I not know that today I am king over Israel? Therefore the king said to Shimei, you shall not die. And the king swore to him. Now later David's going to command Solomon to execute this fellow. But at this point he's not ready for justice. But I think the implication of Abishai is that indeed the cursing of Shimei was not from God. And Shimei's ultimate fate of being executed during the days of Solomon would acknowledge that indeed this cursing was not from the Lord. But what I really want to do today is spend some time in considering some of the wrongs of Shimei's bitterness. First of all, number one, It was based upon false premises. Go back to chapter 16 and verse 8 and notice what Shimei says. The Lord has brought upon you all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned, and the Lord has delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom your son. And so now you are caught in your own evil because you are a bloodthirsty man. The implication is that God finally has caught you, David. You stole the throne from the house of Saul. You were ugly and mean to the house of Saul, and now it's come back to haunt you. By the way, I think there's an interesting side note here with regard to blood. You remember in the 27th chapter of Matthew when Jesus was there before Pilate, and Pilate said, "Who would I release, Barabbas or this man?" And they said, "Release Barabbas and this man crucify." And they said, "May this man's blood be upon our heads." But in the 5th chapter, when Peter and the apostles are accusing them of crucifying Jesus, what did they say? "You intend to bring this man blood upon us." Now they deny it. They were proud of it at once, which shows the fickleness of human nature. But nonetheless, we find upon this occasion that here was a false charge against David. Let's do a little history. Go back first of all to 1 Samuel chapter 24. And I want you to notice just exactly how David has continued to treat the household of Saul. First of all, in 1 Samuel 24, we come to the wilderness of En-Gedi. David is on the run. Saul is intending to kill David. And you remember that Saul comes into a cave to attend to needs. And there is David hiding in the recesses of the cave along with a servant. And it says in verse 4 that the men of David said, "This is the day which the Lord said to you, 'Behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you.' And David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe." Later on, David feels a little bad about that. He cuts off a little bit of that robe. But then down in verse 8, David arose after, went out of the cave, and he called to Saul, saying, "My Lord the King." And when Saul looked behind him, David stood with his face to the earth and bowed down. And David said to Saul, "Why do you listen to the words of the men who indeed say, 'David seeks your harm'? Look, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you into my hand in the cave, and someone urged me to kill you, but my eye spared you. And I said, 'I will not stretch out my hand against the Lord, for he or against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed.'" And Saul's reaction is recorded in the 16th verse. And so it was that when David finished speaking these words to Saul, that Saul said, "Is this your voice, my son of David?" And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. And he said to David, "You are more righteous than I, for you have rewarded me with good, whereas I rewarded you with evil." But that's not the only time. In the 26th chapter, we come to the wilderness of Ziph. David and a servant slip into the camp where Saul is sleeping. And we find that David steals Saul's sword and his jug of water. And then he goes over behind a hill, or goes up on a hill, some distance from the camp. And in the 14th verse, David called out to the people, and he said to Abner, the son of Ner, saying, "Do you not answer, Abner?" And Abner answered and said, Who are you calling out to the king?" And so David said to Abner, "Are you not a man? And who is like you in Israel? Why then have you not guarded your lord the king? For one of the people came in to destroy your lord the king. This thing that you have done is not good. As the Lord lives, you deserve to die, because you have not guarded your master, the Lord's anointed." Again, Saul's reaction is recorded in verse 21. "I have sinned. Return my son David, for I will harm you no more because of my life. For my life was precious in your eyes this day. Indeed, I have played the fool and erred exceedingly." Well, the story's not over. I want you to come with me to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 4. Now Saul is dead. David has placed himself on the throne. He is now the king of Israel. But Ishbosheth, who is a son of Saul, is murdered. Someone in pride takes his life and kills him. David was not at all amused by that. And in the 9th verse, David answered Rechab and Baana, his brother, the sons of Rimmon, the Berathite, and said to them, "As the Lord lives, who has redeemed my life from all adversity, when someone told me, saying, 'Look, Saul is dead,' thinking to have brought good news, I arrested him and had him executed in Ziglag, the one who thought I would give him a reward for his news. How much more, when wicked men have killed a righteous person in his own bed? Therefore, shall I not require his blood at your hand and remove them from the earth?" And so David commanded the young men, and they executed him. David was not amused at all. And then one other incident. In 2 Samuel, the 9th chapter, Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan and the grandson of Saul. And David, out of kindness, makes the promise in the 10th verse that Mephibosheth would eat bread at his table always. So when Shimei accuses David and says, "You know, this bad thing has happened to you because you have been unkind to the household of Saul," it is totally unfounded. Shimei thought that he had wronged his family, and the reality is he has blinded himself to the facts. The charges are absolutely groundless. I want to make an application of that. I want you to look first at me in the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter. I'm going to come back to this one in a minute. But I want you to notice what is stated in Hebrews chapter 12. This is very significant and important. The Hebrew writer says, and I begin in the middle of a thought. Well, let's go back to verse 14. He says, "Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled." Be careful. Lest any root of bitterness spring up in you, and by it others become defiled. Be careful. Then in the book of Ephesians, the 4th chapter. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31, Paul says in verse 31, Ephesians 4:31, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." I met that person 20 years ago in my first local work. Inside her was intense jealousy over any attention that anyone else got. Even to the point that in a business meeting, I hate to tell this story, but it's true. Even in a point that in a business meeting, her husband instructed me that Nancy was always to sit with his wife in an assembly. It was a root of bitterness. It was immature. But there was something in the background, something that had happened a long time ago, I am convinced, having thought a long time about all of that, that created this bitterness that she harbored within her heart. But furthermore, not only was it based on false premises, but number two, it was nurtured by time. It has been 20 years, 20 long years since Saul has been dead. Can you imagine what would have happened if a long time ago Shimei had gone to David and brought his complaints with an open heart, had discussed these matters, perhaps he could have avoided 20 long years of harboring the bitterness. Ephesians chapter 4, Paul puts it like this. We read the passage this morning. In Ephesians 4, 26, he says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath." Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. You know, in Colossians, the third chapter, it's interesting that Paul uses that word, or at least implication of that, on a couple of occasions. In the 19th verse, he says, "Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them." And I think the implication is, not only are they not to be bitter toward them, but the same token, by the way they treat them, they are not to engender bitterness within the heart of their mate. And then, down in the 21st verse, he says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." The fact is that bitterness means sharpness, the condition of being harsh. By that sharpness and heart, you can cause resentment. You can build a family tree that will last for a long time, in which a child for a long period of time will engender that bitterness and hold that bitterness and anger within their hearts. You know, like when a dad gets mad because of spilled milk. You know, a kid's going to do that. Now, I realize that sometimes we say, "Don't touch that." And when we say, "Don't touch it," and, you know, they continue to do what we ask them not to do, I understand that that needs to be corrected. But I'm talking about, you know, it just happens. Or when moms and dads make unreasonable rules and regulations, that can engender anger and resentment within the heart of that child. And so, we find that over a period of time, a child harbors that anger within them years and years. And years later, it may manifest itself by depression, by the way they treat their mate or their children. It begins a family tree that goes on and on and on. You know, in the book of 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, Paul tells us how to deal with that. And I don't have time to elaborate on it, but I'm going to later on, because I'm working on this passage for some lessons sometime in the future. When Paul talks about love in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, and he says in verse 4, "Love suffers long and is kind." Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. There's how you deal with it. You learn how to have divine love. Shimei's bitterness was wrong because it rejoiced in another's misfortune. And actually, the flip side of that, now he is rejoicing because Absalom, his son, has led a conspiracy. And he is happy because David is now finding himself in the midst of trouble. But reality is, the real reason why Shimei was full of bitterness is because he was jealous. Because now David and his household holds the throne of Israel. You know, Solomon says in Proverbs 24 and verse 17. In Proverbs chapter 24 and in the 17th verse, he says, "Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles." Don't let your heart be glad when your enemy stumbles. Then in the 12th chapter of Romans, without taking time to elaborate, but just looking at some of the things that Paul speaks about in Romans, the 12th chapter, notice beginning in verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy hunger, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Shimei's bitterness was wrong. Isn't it true sometimes that we're jealous because somebody else is a little better than we are? Now, I guess I go back to that because preachers have a problem with that a lot. You know, I have learned the hard way not to compare myself with anyone else. I'm just me. You get me for face value, whatever it's worth. And I certainly believe that I do have some value. But it's something we have to work at. Not being jealous because somebody else is a little better at this than I am. Yeah? You know, and God likes 5 talent people too. But 1 talent as well, right? And so we have to work at it. And sometimes it's easy to rejoice when someone falls. But it's certainly not of God. And furthermore, Shimei's bitterness was wrong because it set a terrible example for others. As I said, it starts a family tree that can engender bitterness in generations to come. You know, my favorite show is the Andy Griffith Show. I don't remember the names of all the family, but I do remember one time when he was trying to settle a dispute. You know, these two families were feuding. And he got these guys together and he said, "Why do you want to kill him?" "Well, because he's a Wakefield." "Well, so?" "Well, because I don't remember the other, Hatfield. I'll just throw that one in. And Hatfields don't like Wakefields." "Well, so, why do you want to kill?" "Well, because he's a Wakefield." You know, there's no reason behind it. But somewhere along the line, years ago, somebody planted a seed, and the family tree begins, and the bitterness continues on and on and on and on. Years of seething, and result is abuse and promiscuity, or perhaps something else that is passed down to generations in the future. Isn't that what the Hebrew writer said a minute ago? The Hebrew writer says, "Looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled." So how do I avoid it? How do I avoid the bitterness? First of all, you don't promote it in others. Don't be harsh with your mate. Don't be harsh. And establish unreasonable expectations and unreasonable rules with your children. Don't correct them unless it's necessary, and sometimes it is, in the presence of others. You know the difference between the two. If it's a private matter, then I don't need to exercise my authority and prove something in front of somebody else. Now, if they're misbehaving in front of others, then they need to be corrected. And children are smart enough to figure that one out. Do not belittle your children. And young people need to respect their elders and realize that sometimes with them change is not easy. And elderly need to respect the younger and appreciate the spirit of enthusiasm and the spirit and desire and zeal that they have. In fact, Peter puts it like this in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 5. 1 Peter 5:5, he says, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." How do I avoid it? Don't promote it in others. And number two, fight it within yourself. Study. Pray. Meditate. And by all means, try to avoid the pity party, the woe is me attitude, the selfish attitude of poor little old me, I'm the victim. Try to avoid all of that. Try to avoid it. Because you see, the sin of bitterness can lead to other problems. It can destroy you. It can destroy your soul. And it can destroy the lives of others. Because of it, in 1 Kings chapter 2, Shimei, at the order of David, and by the obedience of Solomon, Shimei was executed. I'm glad that I don't live under the rule of David. I'm glad I live under the rule of Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 4, here's why. I read it again. Paul says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." I'm glad God is merciful. I'm glad He's full of grace. And I'm thankful and glad that He has been so patient with me and so willing to forgive. He loves you too. He loves us enough that what He wants is He wants us to be right with Him. And He wants us to receive that final reward that He has promised. Maybe there's someone here today who needs to get their life right with God. If there's anything that we can do today to assist you in that way, in any way, we certainly would welcome that opportunity. We invite you to come. Together we stand and sing the song selected. Come to Jesus.